Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I'm Harry Thompson, the editor of USA Hockey Magazine. And today we're coming to you again from the 2014 Disabled Festival in Marlboro, Massachusetts. And we are joined by one of the pioneers of sled hockey, Kip St. Germain, who is nice enough to give us a little bit of time today in between watching various games out here at the New England Sports Center. Hey, Kip, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. It's been great. It's a fun watch.
You know, Kip, I guess I'll start off with, you know, you've been around sled hockey so long. How have you seen, this is the 10th Disabled Festival, how far have you seen disabled hockey come within the USA Hockey ranks?
It's grown tremendously. I mean, you know, in 98, we were looking for athletes to put a team together, really. As someone has said, if you could afford to play then, you made the Paralympic team. You know, now we've got, you know, 54 disabled teams here, and, you know, not all of them are sled hockey, but it's disabled sports, and, you know, the equipment's much better, the athletes are better, and the venues are better. You know, it's tremendous.
You know, a lot of that credit goes back to what you guys were able to accomplish. Obviously, it was a little bit of a rough going in Nagano in 98, but then you shocked the whole sled world and Paralympic world by beating Norway in a shootout in 2002. What do you remember about that time?
One of the best experiences of my life. You know, it was fun to be over in Nagano to compete and represent the country for the first time. And granted, you know, we went as a 6 seed, we came out as a 6 seed, but we did a lot better as a team than what the record shows. Typically, we'd gotten and gotten beaten by the Swedes and the Norways, you know, 15-1, 13-2, things like that. All our games in Nagano were close. And then to be able to come home and compete in Salt Lake and have our family and friends there, to win the gold medal with everybody there, and what's probably still the largest crowd for a gold medal game in sled hockey, it's an experience that, you know, you'll never forget.
You know, a lot of people don't know that even though the United States played in the gold medal game in women's hockey and in men's hockey, there was a larger crowd for the sled hockey game based on the fact that they were able to sell more of the seats because they took out all the press seats.
Yeah, it was, you know, we did something that nobody expected. You know, we went into Salt Lake. The reason we were there is because we were the host country. The 5th seed was to be determined. And to go through the round robin and beat all the teams and get, you know, a buzz generated in the village, and then to, you know, to be able to win the gold medal against Norway, which was a reigning and perennial gold medal team, you know, year in and year out, and beat them in a shootout, you know, again, in front of your home fans and family and friends. It's a dream come true.
How close are you still with a lot of the guys from that team? Because obviously it was a special group of guys.
Yeah, no, we try and keep in touch. But, you know, it's unfortunate. Everybody has, you know, their own things that they got to do with family and jobs and school and whatnot. And, you know, everybody kind of goes their separate ways. You know, from time to time, we do try and keep in touch. There's been a few of us that have talked about trying to do some kind of a reunion. But, you know, like I've heard, even with the 1980 team, they've never had, since that they won the gold medal, they've never had the whole team together, you know, after all these years. So, you know, hopefully we could get our team together at some point, but one never knows.
Like you said, you know, travel and commitments and family and work and all that stuff makes it hard. And then you came back in 2006 and represented the United States in Torino and took home a bronze medal. What was it that made you come back for one last kick at the can?
Because we had won the gold medal. We wanted to try and see if, you know, see if we could do it again. And then we had the younger batch, you know, the guys like Steve Cash, Taylor Chase, Andy Yohe, you know, those guys, Jimmy Conley was coming in, Mike Hallman, those guys were coming in. That was their first Paralympics. So to kind of help guide them and get them established and kind of hand the torch off to them, which has been, you know, they've been able to pick it up and run with it and go further than any of us ever dreamed of.
Speaking of handing the torch off, now you are here coaching a team. What's that like being on the other side of it, being a coach now rather than just a player?
It was an adjustment. You know, it's, you see what's happening in the game, and you know what you'd want to do, but trying to describe it to somebody rather than actually going out and do it, you know, that's been the adjustment. But it's fun. I'm having fun with it. You know, it's good to do it. You know, I'm helping coach the UNH Northeast Passage Wildcats, and, you know, there's a good group of guys, and they're hungry, they want to learn, so, that, you know, that's been a lot of fun.
You also have Taylor Chase on the team, and anytime you have Taylor Chase, you got a chance.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, Taylor can be a stud out there. He's, you know, a big, strong kid and got a cannon for a shot. He knows the game. He got injured playing the game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's been a leader for, you know, the Paralympic team and the Northeast Passage team.
Now, I also understand you're working with the U.S. Developmental Program as well. What capacity are you serving in that regard?
I am working with Mike McMillan, who's the head coach, and I'm the associate head coach. And really been trying to develop a younger pool of players at the national team level, kind of like a JV team for our Paralympic team. And, you know, the focus really now has been, in my opinion, has been to get guys ready. You know, hopefully one or two for the would have been ready for the 2014 team, somebody like a Brody Roybal as an example, Paul Schaus, and then really focusing on getting guys ready for 2018 and even 2022 down the road.
Wow, that sounds like a pretty good undertaking, but working with Mike McMillan, who's a great hockey guy, that must be a lot of fun.
It is. You know, I've been able to learn a lot from Mike. It's been a blessing for me. I've been very fortunate in every step of my sled hockey career.
You also had the opportunity during these last Paralympics to actually serve as a color commentator during some of the NBC broadcasts. What was that experience like?
That was something different for me. I had a lot of fun. And, you know, again, another step in the career, something new. You know, it was good. I got to cover the U.S. game, so I was familiar with our players, not so much as, you know, the international players. And, it gave me a whole different perspective on televised sports.
I got a sense from listening, especially to the finals with Dave Strader, who does a great job of broadcasting, that of that tournament really opened his eyes to it, that he had really no idea just how good a sport sled hockey was, how fast, how physical, how skilled these guys are. Is that a pretty accurate?
That's very fair. I think it opened up a lot of people's eyes, you know, NBC, and then the viewers as well. And it was good for the Paralympics, it's good for the sport, sled hockey, and it's good for, you know, for USA Hockey. It's given more exposure to disabled sports. It's generated a buzz, and it's been good for our athletes, you know, to be able to get the recognition, you know, coming back from the games in Sochi and being recognized in the airports and things like that. You know, they know that they're true athletes, but to get that recognition kind of just validates it. So,
absolutely. Any hope that, obviously, I mean, they had some good ratings during on NBC and NBC Sports, that maybe we'll see a little bit more sled hockey? We don't have to wait another 4 years before the next Paralympics?
I would hope so. You know, hopefully, people will write into NBC and let them know that, you know, they enjoyed the experience, what it meant to them, what they thought of it. You know, hopefully we can get our guys, the past and present Paralympians, to express their feelings of what it meant, you know, to see the sport on TV. You know, for me, again, I've been very fortunate. It was, you know, I was very proud to be able to still be involved with the Paralympics in some way, and still be involved with the national team program, and to see the growth, you know, throughout the country. And, you know, I know guys from back in the 90s that they were the true pioneers of getting this sport growth. They've been very pleased with where it's going and the recognition these guys have been getting.
You know, you talk about growing the game. I know that you and Mike McMillan had the opportunity to try to grow the game over in Russia. Can you just talk a little bit about that experience, how it came about, and what you did?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm not sure how it came about. I'm glad I got asked to go. It was an amazing experience. I had always wanted to go to Russia, but to be able to go over there, and we worked with a couple of their club teams. And, you know, after working with their club teams, I'm not surprised with how well their national team did in their first Paralympics. They're a very proud program, tradition, a lot of tradition, and they really worked very hard, you know, as athletes to bring its program together, training, getting the skills down and things like that. And it was a phenomenal experience and one, you know, it's up there with the gold medal game for me.
Wow, that's fantastic. You know, you mentioned with these players on this current team coming back, getting the acknowledgement and the credit that they so richly deserve. Last night they had an autograph session, lasted over 2 hours. You know, you've been on that side of the table where, you know, these younger kids look up to you. What is it like to be a role model for other, you know, sled hockey players and other disabled athletes? What does that mean?
You know, it's like pulling on that USA jersey. It's an honor. And it's a responsibility you can't take lightly. And hopefully these guys recognize that they have that responsibility now. You know, it's one thing to make the national team and Paralympic team and win the gold medal. And that's all fun. But there are other responsibilities that come outside of the ice. You know, represent the sport, represent your country, and help grow programs that are local to you, and may have to do some traveling too to help grow programs and get other kids enthused and involved. They're the future, so you want to take that on and be able to keep the program growing and keep it strong.
Absolutely. The last thing I wanted to ask you, Kip, is you kept mentioning the various things that you've done over the course of your career as another step in the journey. What would you like to see from yourself over the next 4 years? You've obviously worked with the junior team and you've done a lot of different things. What's on the horizon or hopefully on the horizon for you?
I don't know. Wait and see what comes up. You know, obviously, I enjoy coaching. You know, if I could be involved with the next Paralympic team coaching that, I'd love that opportunity and that honor. Certainly not my call, but, you know, if asked, it's something I would jump all over. But, you know, one never knows. You got to take it one day at a time, have fun with what we're doing, and enjoy the experience. And, you know, like I said, I've been very fortunate.
Well, you know, U.S. has been fortunate to have so many good coaches over the years, and it would be great to have somebody who has your playing and coaching resume working at the next level. So thanks for taking the time here, and I'm going to let you get back to watching some more great sled hockey games here in Marlboro, Mass.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Great, and thanks for listening, everybody. We'll come back to you again with another USA Hockey Magazine podcast here from the 2014 USA Hockey Disabled Festival.